Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However, you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate that. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Still to come this hour. Once again, Paul Carr on the Champions League and Dave Tindall from across the pond. We had our college basketball formula, now his master's formula, which he does sort of our, it's sort of our Jim Nance segue, as he used to go from the NCAA tournament to Augusta, and his voice would quiet, and it'd be a tradition unlike any other. So that's what we're doing with our formula, and then we go to Dave Tindall, and he'll, in a very soothing British accent, will give us his formula later. We get tweets, Kelly. Good God. You excited for our Beating the Book Master spot?
Let's go,
after the
man.
Show?
I'm pumped.
Seeing Najad's already giving us his plays. He's ready to go. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Thank you for all the feedback. There are too many to even get to. Jamie Leva. Hurley asked his player, did I touch you? After he clearly gave him a nudge. Dude genuinely did not know if he did or not. It was amazing to watch. I love that nutbag.
I feel like that's exactly what I saw, too. I was like, this guy's out of his... He's so out of his mind right now, he doesn't even know where he's at.
I couldn't believe they didn't call it tech. I was like, you can't do that.
I know. I was very confused by that, too. Like, the ref was right there, too.
Jason, different Jason, at Sparty KY, says, totality equals margin. I think what he's saying is that everybody now... For totality, the word totality got used more yesterday when describing this eclipse than it has in the entire history of media combined up until yesterday. And I think like a lot of sports bettors now are using margin a lot. Have you noticed that? That's like a last year kind of thing. Only in the last year have people said, buy margin.
There's always the handful of people, like no matter what betting phrase we talk about, that you always know the two or three people that you know that use it the most.
Oh,
you
know what I mean? Thinking like, of one right now in my
it's
head.
Not really. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's that one is generally overused in my opinion, but there's definitely a couple people that I know that use it too much.
Oh, for sure. And I won't say their name. But it's like I was talking about, you know, how these announcers, like somebody says in space, right, one day in football, and then everybody uses it, sort of like, again, the March of the Penguins thing. And then one day, one penguin takes one step. J&J Watering Hole. Being in India, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. In practicality, though, my totality was collecting once again on UConn for the sixth straight game. There you go, baby. Teasers and parlays. What a last segment with Drew. Between tennis, NBA, quarries, and uncrustable fault lines, I thought I was on the VSiN Plus subscription. Oh, that subscription is great. This is from
R. This is a decent example of it. Yeah.
RMBJM314. 313 was taken. Gil, while the college basketball formula was able to select the winner, was it profitable? I believe there were six teams that met the criteria at the start of the tournament. There might have been more that played their way in. UConn was a +425 preflop. It's used as a guardrail system to prevent folks from betting long shots that have no shot whatsoever. I think you're taking it in a very literal way to try to poke holes in it. That's not really its intention. By the way, there weren't six before the tournament. It was about four before the tournament, with two on the outside looking in. But there was six at one point late.
Yeah.
So it was only four at the beginning of the tournament.
I hope that's not taken wrong, because I actually thought you did a really good job of, you know, especially before the tournament when we were laying that out with the field. I mean, I remember you saying it at one point, like, hey, it's not like you're going to go out and bet every single one of these teams.
Not. James Sott, I feel so much smarter now after that talk with plates and earthquakes, which I couldn't repeat back, but I still feel smarter. The eclipse was awesome where he was. Pictures that his sister took. Yes, if you were in the totality range, boy, was it awesome.
Yeah, Drew had to make up for it. He didn't know the quarry. Come on.
Well, we had somebody else to say, it's funny with the quarry. If you Google it, some people, it's funny, someone, because you were trying to challenge me on this, some say Blue Ridge Mountains. But if you Google other spots, it's Charlottesville.
Yeah.
For the quarry.
Yeah, but all you can find is like the general location. It's a little sketchy to me.
Kelly wants to start a quarry. Let's talk some Masters, the 88th Masters. And I don't know if we've had John on a numbers game, but we certainly had him on primetime action many times. PGA betting and DFS content for the lines at PGA Tout, which he means ironically, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. John Hasselbauer joins us. Hello, John. How are you?
Hello, it's good to be back. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Let me start with this. Let's do this opposite. Who are you absolutely not backing at the 88th Masters? Who do you want no part of?
Can I just say to start, the audacity of Akshay Bhatia to make this not a field of 88, the 88 Masters. I mean, can we not just have symmetry one time?
Great point.
Had to make it a field of 89. Who am I absolutely not backing? Rory McIlroy. I'm not sold. I will say I was 100% out before the Valero, and he had a perfect Valero week. He wasn't too stressed in contention. He had a comfy T3, classic Rory fashion. Did everything you want to see from him, escaping from trouble, dialing in the irons. I mean, everything looks right. But if there was a year for Rory to get it done, this does not seem to be the one. I'm reading the tea leaves and seeing this is the Masters that he gets over the hump.
How do you handle the live golfers here from a handicap?
Yeah, I was a little bit higher than most last year on live golfers. And I think there was the stigma last year of how prepared could these guys really be without playing serious four round golf against full fields leading in. And those people, probably lost some money on the Masters because you had Brooks in the final pairing. You had Phil Mickelson come out of nowhere. Patrick Reed finished T4. I think there's something to be said about these guys coming in a little bit more fresh. And playing less tournaments and having more time to focus on practicing for this event. So I think there's a few LIV guys that have a chance. I love Brooks Koepka's chances this week. Jon Rahm is the defending champion now on LIV. Going to be an interesting title defense to monitor for him. Joaquin Niemann has had some mixed results at the Masters, but playing incredible golf. So I don't think you can ignore them, especially after what we saw last year.
All right. Where did you end up putting most of your betting dollar, though?
Yeah, I went I went with Xander Schauffele and Brooks Koepka at the very top of the board. I think it's interesting with Brooks is a lot of cold feet because he had a putter change, switching to more of that mallet style. But you look at a Scottie Scheffler, he switched putters and immediately, fixed all of his problems. So I know that putter's been a weapon for Brooks in majors in the past. He clearly thought it wasn't good enough for his game currently, and he made a change to something he feels more comfortable with. So I'm excited to see what he does on the greens, but we know what Brooks is going to do from a ball striking standpoint at the Masters. And when you talk about Xander Schauffele winning a major, it's obviously never happened before, but somebody who's more due than any other player in the field to pick up his first major championship.
What is it besides?
I was just going to say real quick, Gil, the steam Xander is getting over the past 24 hours is amazing.
So this is where I'm going. So what is it besides due, right? Like the proverbial he's due. Because exactly what Kelly just said, I've heard the same thing. Like all of a sudden, Xander's getting a lot of love, just anecdotally from what we're hearing. What is it for you that makes this the moment?
I think first and foremost, from a betting standpoint, the odds kind of force you in that direction, right? Like Scottie Scheffler, nobody is excited to bet him at 4-1. I'm actually working on an article that I'll post later tonight that's like all like prop bets you can bet at the same number that I like more than Scottie Scheffler wins the Masters. So from a betting standpoint, you're not excited to bet Scottie Scheffler at 4-1, although you understand the threat that he is. Then you look at Jon Rahm, you get cold feet. How many times does a defending champion successfully defend his title defense? Not often. Rory McIlroy, we have concerns about the form. And then you sort of begin in this 16-20-1 range. And you look at Xander Schauffele, who has a bulletproof resume at Augusta National and has really done everything but win on the PGA Tour. For my money, he's the second best player on the PGA Tour after Scottie Scheffler. So he's in form. He has great history. You kind of expect him to be in the top five, top 10 at a tournament like this. He's saying all the right things in the press too, which I think is moving that number as well.
Are you dabbling in any other props, a Tiger to make miss, anything else, top 10, top 20, first round leader, anything like that?
Yeah, it's the best week of the year for props, novelty props. First round leader, I'm always going to be dabbling in that space. I think I haven't put my bets in yet because I'm waiting to see the weather splits and the tee times and rolling out. I know with the Masters, it's not really a weather split. It's everybody kind of rolling out one after another. So not as much of an advantage to cycle through, but there is some weather to deal with on Thursday. So I'm waiting to see that before I place first round leader bets. But somebody like a Cam Young, someone that jumps out to me as a first round leader prospect. He's done the first round leader at St. Andrews 2 years ago. So, he can get out to a hot start. He's a player who has all the raw skills to dominate a course like Augusta National, but just hasn't been much of a closer. So that's a market that I like getting exposure to, a great talent like Cameron Young. A couple of random novelty props I'm probably going to bet. I saw like top Oceania player, Adam Scott, at like 6-1. It's actually, I like that market. That's him going up against Cameron Smith, Jason Day, and Minwoo Lee. All of them kind of have their own questions about form and health leading in here, where Adam Scott's sort of this model of consistency. He could just finish in the top 20, regardless of how well he plays every single week on the PGA Tour this year, and obviously a past winner, where those others are not. So I like the angle there. Those are probably two of my favorite props to start so far, and I'll do a little bit more digging later tonight.
I like that they've gone with Oceania now for Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, Papua New Guinea.
Pick your book. It's listed different.
Yeah, absolutely. Last thing, because we only have 30 seconds here, John. Do you subscribe to the, because we always say this, right? It's very trite. Debutante last one to win was 1979. Do you immediately throw out the Ludwig Göbergs of the world?
I thought about it more than I thought I would. I think the advancements they've made to this course to toughen it up and push back tee boxes actually open it up to somebody like a Ludwig, who is just a pure bomber, hits it straight and far and high, and can score on the par five. So I don't think he's going to win, but I would understand the value on a bet like that on him or a Wyndham Clark to contend this week.
John Hasselbauer, appreciate it, John. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, anytime.
John Hasselbauer from the Progressive Guest Line, a courtesy of PGA Betting and DFS content for the lines at PGA Tout. Some Champions League next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kelly Bidlin's working hard for the money today. Get ready to tee off with a special Masters edition of VSiN's Long Shots today at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Work Man, wake up for that money.
Who sings that?
I have no idea.
Donna Summer, come on. Join VSiN experts Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin as they break down the field, analyze the best bets, and uncover hidden long shots. You know, like the 50-1 on Steven Yeager that Wes hit a couple weeks ago.
Bam.
Like the 65-1 that Matt hit on Akshay Bhatia this Bam. Week. You know.
And that 70-1 I'm going to hit this week.
That's right. And then Kelly's 70-1. That's coming up. Stay tuned. From the favorites of the dark horses, or from the favorites to the dark horses, we'll give the inside scoop on every player and their odds of taking home the green jacket, whether you're a seasoned golf better, just getting into the game. Expert panel is going to provide insights and strategies to help you make informed betting decisions. That's tonight, special edition of Long Shots, 11 p.m. Eastern. To gain a competitive edge and maximize your winnings during this iconic golf tournament, visit us at VSiN.com/masters for all the coverage. VSiN, the sports betting network. So you wake up in the morning, Kelly, at like, well, I don't know, what do you wake up at?
4:15 a.m.
4:15 a.m. He comes in. He has to deal with me for 2 hours. Then he's doing Beating the Book podcast. We do a Beating the Book Masters after this. So he's got to deal with me more. Then he's got to do whatever it is he does the rest of the day while I look for another eclipse. And then tonight, you're doing the live Masters show.
Yeah, this is live to tape. I don't really think I'm ruining any TV broadcasting of it. The magic of TV. We're recording this at 12:30 today. I knew Gil knew thought it was live this whole time. Yeah, my day is not that long, buddy.
I was
wondering why you were freaking out earlier about how long my day was.
Just because, you know why? Because then I wanted you to complain about it, and then I wanted to say, yeah, I only did that for 2 years. okay. We get tweets at Beating the Book. It was all set up. That's what it was. Brian M. Google research suggests the hard true courts come from the greenstone of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Looks like Lynchburg. See? Some people say Lynchburg. Yeah, Charlottesville.
Right. So you're giving me a general area still in a city. I want the company.
Kelly wants to start a quarry. Man wants to start a quarry. Roger Jones. Gil Nye, the science guy. Love it. Will Neil deGrasse Tyson be appearing today? That'd be awesome.
That's great.
By the way, that dude,
Gil
whenever
Nye, the science guy.
Whenever it was Drew, it wasn't me. But the if Neil deGrasse Tyson always like speaks in a way like it, where his thought bubble is, you're clearly an idiot. Let me explain it to you.
Yeah.
Chance Copperpot, how are you feeling about your most MLB wins for March, April on the Guardians? Yankees exceeding expectations in my Pirates bet, still hanging tough. Let's go. I should have sent this tweet sooner. Now listening to this segment. Oh, he sent it out during the segment. I feel great about it. Obviously, that missed game doesn't help for the Guardians. But big series after the Yankees get through with the Marlins and the Guardians get through with the White Sox, Guardians versus Yankees for three in Cleveland. That is going to be huge towards this bet. Oh, and one clarification. I said earlier that the Pirates get the first crack at the most first team to 10 wins this morning. Check the rules. With the Carolina Panthers one, I made that bet at Circa. Circa was, if they're the last winless, doesn't mean if they lose later in the day. If they're the last winless, even by time, you're a winner.
And that was different shop to shop.
Shop
you're
to
right.
shop.
So, yeah, check.
DraftKings dead heats it. So if the Pirates win this morning and then the Dodgers and or Yankees win later, they dead heat them, just so you know.
Gil Nye, the science guy. Gil, Gil.
Thank you very much. Paul Carr, ladies and gentlemen, from Topeka, Kansas. He is the host of the Expected Value podcast and, of course, works at True Media Networks. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He joins us now to talk some Champions League. Paul, do you bet the Masters, by the way?
A little bit. I would not. You know, I throw some money on it to have something going on. So I will end up with a few plays that are extremely not well-researched or handicapped.
Oh, was it my moon-sun explanation earlier? Was that what it was? Sorry, Paul. Yeah, I just kept bugging me. Sorry about that. Okay, let's talk about Champions League. And before we get to your plays, it is the first leg of the quarters today. Explain to us how this draw goes and how it went down this year.
Yeah, so once they get to the quarters, they randomly draw teams. There's no rules about who can play whom or can't play whom. So it's a blind draw, as far as we know.
Sure.
And the four best teams all ended up on the same half of the bracket. So they draw not just for the quarters, but they draw for the semis and all the way down. So Man City, Real Madrid, Arsenal, and Bayern Munich, who are still the four betting favorites,
Yes. Are
all on the same half of the bracket. Which
what do
is
you know?
Wild.
What do you know?
What do you know?
I mean, I'm joking about it, but do you believe it's kosher?
As I love to joke about UEFA orchestrating these things. But yeah, gun to my head, I believe it's kosher, but it's a lot more fun to pretend it's not.
Do you like that all four top ended up on one half?
I really do like it, actually, because we get two games in all these matchups. We get two Man City Real Madrid games. We're going to get two Arsenal Bayern games. We're going to get two games for whoever the winners are here. And you know, the final kind of takes care of itself. It's a final. You don't have to like ramp up stakes or anything. And it will be a little bit more of a mismatch in theory, but it's still the final. You know, the other teams on the other half are still good brand name teams, even if your PSG and Barcelona's, et cetera, are having relatively down years. So yeah, I like that we're going to get two heavyweight quarterfinal matchups and two games each and the same thing in the semis.
All right. And the heavyweight battles are today, right?
Yep. Yeah. Today's the big day. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, let's start with these. These are all at, is it 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, our time, I believe? Yeah.
Yes, correct.
And they're concurrent. That's the other thing, right? Okay, yep. So this is the first leg. So you don't have to take into consideration goal, motivation, and all that stuff.
Correct. The one thing I will say, in the round of 16, 7 of the 8 first legs had two or fewer goals. It seems like teams in general the last few years with the elimination of the away goals rule have maybe gotten even more conservative in these first legs. It's the old don't lose it in the first leg type of thing. So that's something that I think definitely comes into play with some of my picks today.
All right. Well, let's start with Man City and Real Madrid. What about that one?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Last year, City, they drew 1-1 at Real Madrid in the semifinals last year, and then City won 4-0 at home. So we've got a rematch of that. 2 years ago, Madrid upset City in the, I think it was the semifinals. So these teams are very familiar with each other. Pep Guardiola, City's manager, used to be at Barcelona, knows Madrid from then. This is going to be a good one. I like the price you can get on Man City to win this one outright, plus 155. There's question marks about Real Madrid's central defense. One of the regular starters is not there, not totally sure how they're going to replace him. They've got a few different options. City has some defensive issues of their own injury-wise, but they have all their guns blazing with Haaland and De Bruyne and Foden up top. That you give me plus 155 or something in that ballpark just for the better team to win, even if it's on the road, and I'll take that. So I'll take the City win, get that good plus money price.
Wow, Man City plus 155. Shop around at Real Madrid. Yeah. One of the two. And again, at points, you know, here we are. I'm locked into my Guardians bet. I'm locked into my tennis bets. This is by far the most massive sporting event in the world today. These two matches.
I love Champions League.
Yeah, this is like, it's just all the stuff we're talking about. The Masters can wait till Thursday, college basketball yesterday, but this is it today. Okay. Concurrent to Man City, Real Madrid is Arsenal and Bayern Munich from Bundesliga. How are you playing this?
the two teams in very different spots. Arsenal is, we know exactly what they are. They're great defensively. They're the best defensive team in Europe, in the top two or three by pretty much any metric you want to choose, whether it's expected goals against or shot quality that they're allowing. And Bayern is kind of a mess, relatively. They're 16 points behind in the Bundesliga. They're not going to win it. They kind of scraped by Lazio in the previous round. We keep waiting for them to be Bayern and put everything together, and I've just kind of decided they're not going to this year. Some of it's injuries, some of it's, you know, conflict with coaching, some of it's just inner turmoil. But whatever the reason, I just don't think that they have it. So I'm not worried about Bayern, you know, rolling up the goals in this one. And I'll trust Arsenal's defense because that's what's gotten them here. You know, they're going to try to win this one like 1-0, 2-0 type of thing. And, you know they want to win this because the second leg is in Munich. So I just think it's going to be low scoring. Arsenal's going to try to control this game, keep things buttoned down. I took the under 2.5 goals at plus 115 here.
I am riding your picks, Paul. I am riding these picks. I like it. Okay, right. So Man City outright against Real Madrid. Arsenal, Bayern Munich, the under on 2.5 goals for the reasons that Paul just stipulated. Tomorrow, you're not touching PSG, Barcelona? Not touching that one.
Yeah. There's a lot. Barcelona has a lot of injury questions in the midfield. Not sure if Pedri's going to play. Frankie de Jong may or may not play. I may end up with a play. The Barcelona plus 260 price is really appealing right now. But until I know what that midfield's going to look like, I'm not going to touch that one.
All right. By the way, for those in Castellano speaking Spain, that was Barcelona we were talking about. But you are right. You do have a play on Atletico and Dortmund tomorrow.
Yeah, taking under 2.5 in any Atletico game feels about as square as you can get. This is not the defensive Atletico team they've had in previous years, though. They're still good defensively, and they know they have to win this game because you don't want to go to Dortmund, which is just a rockin' stadium, and have to get a result or get a win there. So I expect a more traditional Atletico performance. Again, grind out a 1-0 win, grind out a 2-0 win, maybe. That's what I think we're going to see here. So Atletico will just kind of shut things down, try to steal the goal, get the win, go to Dortmund with the lead. So under 2.5, though, is what I'm going to play in case you get a 1-1 type of game. Minus 115, the under 2.5 price that I got.
All right, Paul Carr on a bit of a heater once again today. Man City outright at Real Madrid, plus 155. The under 2.5 on Arsenal and Bayern Munich. Then tomorrow, under 2.5 on the Atletico Dortmund game. Can't wait. Pumped. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
Love it. Thanks, Gil.
Paul Carr at Paul Carr, by the way. C-A-R-R. Expected Value Podcast. He is the host of that, and he works at True Media Networks, where he proliferates analytics across the sporting world.
Boom.
Doing God's work. We'll come back. We'll read some tweets. We got some golf, too, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits. For free, just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter bets today. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Live from Barcanada, the barrage at the D, downtown Las Vegas. We get tweets, Kelly. I'm sorry, what did you say?
So that's right. Right here, Barcanada.
Just wondering.
It's like every other day.
You're like, confirmed. Confirmed. What's that Darren Revelle thing he does? He goes, confirmed. Thanks, Darren. We weren't asking you. Brian M. Oh, he had the Pirates first to 10 at 55-1. Or at least he's telling us they were 55-1 pre-flop.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian M.
Good to know.
55 yeah, to
we
one.
Knew it was 20-1 or longer.
Yeah, Pirates. By the way, again the first team with action today of the three teams, along with the Yankees and Dodgers that have 9 wins. They host the Tigers about 35 minutes after the show today. We'll get into all the tweets because we have tons of tweets to read in the next hour, but next segment rather. But I mentioned this that on the heels of our college basketball formula, and when the tournament ends, part of the tradition around here is to go across the pond to our friend Dave Tindall at Dave Tindall Golf on the Twitter machine, because he has himself a master's formula. He's a sports writer who, among other places, you can see his work at Betfair. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line all the way from England. Good morning, or I should say good afternoon, Dave. How are you? Great to see you.
Yeah, I'm great, Gil. How are you? Good to be back.
Doing very well. So let's start with how you do this, the criteria that you look back at the last 10 Masters winners, I know that much. What are the categories that you're looking at to determine or to winnow this down to a potential winner here?
Yeah, so I'm basically looking how many times a thing has happened in the last 10 years. So look, starting with age, the Masters has been good for those in their 20s in the last 10 years. Six 20-somethings have won in the last 10 years. Three 30s, and Tiger, of course, was in his 40s. So it's a point system. So if you are in your 20s, you get 6 points because it's happened six times. If you're in your 30s, you get 3 points. It's happened three times and so on. Then we go down the world rankings. This one is a little bit contentious nowadays because are the world rankings correct anymore? You've got Dustin Johnson down at something like 327th, which is a bit mad.
Yeah.
But I guess there are Data Golf do some good world rankings. So I perhaps maybe should have looked at those. Although, as it happens, even if any of the LIV guys had been perhaps the ranking, perhaps they should be, they wouldn't have come out on top. Little spoiler alert there, but so it's not going to be a live guy who wins my chance piece. appearances, it's always good to have played Augusta National before and have done well there. Eight of the last 10 winners have played in three or more Masters. I think we all know the stat about Fuzzy Zeller in 1979, the last first-time winner. So anyone playing in their first Masters, Ludvig Åberg, Wyndham Clark, I'm afraid you don't going to do too well on my system. A new one this year, I looked at whether anyone had the kind of game for Augusta. We kind of talk about it in general terms, always got the game for Augusta. But I looked at specific categories. Now, we haven't got strokes gained for all the years, but we've got kind of the old school ones. So I looked at how previous winners had performed, and eight had previously finished in the top 20 for driving distance, seven in the top 20 for driving accuracy, perhaps a little bit of a surprise when you think maybe you can just spray it anywhere at Augusta. Eight of the last 10 had finished in the top 11th previously for greens in reg. That kind of makes sense. Scrambling's always thought of as important. Eight of the last 10 had ended a previous Masters in the top 20 for scrambling, so that backs that up. Putting average, again, is it the be-all and end-all? It's fairly important. Seven of the last 10 have finished in the top 20 for putting average at one point in their previous Masters career. And then an overall ball striking, a combination of some of the other stats. Eight had previously ranked in the top 10 for ball striking, so that's quite an important one. So I looked at the last 10 Masters winners, the six categories I've read there, and eight of them had ticked off five of those six. So kind of you need evidence that you've done a lot of the good things well in the past, not always in the same year, but if you've done it, maybe you putted well 1 year, you've driven it well 1 year, you've hit a lot of greens 1 year, it kind of shows you've got the potential to do it in the same year. And that's obviously when you know you've got a chance to win. Just quickly, the other ones, defending champion, they don't happen, do they, really? Tiger in 2002, the last one, so that's not good news for John Rahm. Recent form, that's good as well. So I worked out seven of the last 10 winners had a top 12 in either the same month of the Masters or the month before. That was a little bit different in November, but it applied to October and November in those years. Winning form, seven of the last 10 Masters winners had actually already won that season, so that's been quite a good stat. Obviously, it gives you great confidence. And then one I really like is how well you've played in recent majors. I know Wyndham Clark was a bit of an outlier, but major winners don't normally come out of thin air. Normally, they've done something previously. So nine of the last major winners have had a top six in one of the previous 2 years. So normally, you've done something. Even someone like Brian Harman, we think of him as a bit of a surprise. He'd come six in the previous year's Open, so he'd kind of laid down a marker. And then finally, we've got last year's. This is a quirky one, this one. If you've played badly the year before, you've got a better chance of winning the year after. I don't know whether it's...
Oh, interesting.
You left the course. Yeah, you left the course maybe, oh, I'll get you next time kind of thing, or whether, you know, you play quite well and you think, oh, well, I'm probably going to play well next year, and you just have a little bit of complacency. But whatever it is, eight of the last 10 Masters winners hadn't had a top 10 the year before. So if you just look at the top 10 from last year, chances are you probably won't find the winner. So that's another category. So I put those all into my points.
All right, let me step in before you reveal here, the big reveal. Okay. I should probably said this at the beginning for those, you know, Dave doesn't do this for every tournament. He does it for the Masters because it's the same course every year and because it's a very predictive course. So it works out very nicely for Augusta. Just to give some what we like to call street cred over here, Dave, is you didn't hit the winners the last 2 years, but you hit the two runner-ups the last 2 years?
Yeah, I've been close. I had Rory McIlroy 2022 when he came second. He was top ranked. And then looking back to last year, John Rahm was basically got maximum points in 9 of the 10 categories. The only one that let him down was his form had just gone a little bit off the boil in the lead up to the Masters. But he scored heavily last year, Rahm. I think he was maybe second or third rated. So they do tend to work out quite well, but we just need to hit the winner.
Okay, so Dave aggregates all these points. He has a point system, which he inserted a point system a few years ago, and you add these up. So can we do it dramatically? Can we start with, say, 61 points and up? Let's start there and let's crescendo up to who you got.
So these are the top seven. So 61 points in seventh place, Will Zalatoris. He's got a second and a sixth at Augusta, so he's proven performer there. 63 points, Dustin Johnson, former winner. Whether he's still got it in him after going to LIV, we don't know. And obviously his Masters win came in November, so he's not won an April Masters. 64 in fifth place is Jordan Spieth. That's no real surprise. An absolute course horse at Augusta. I think he's got 5 top fives, including a win. Number 4 was a bit of a surprise. I didn't expect this to come out. Tommy Fleetwood.
Ooh.
Is the fourth best ranked. Yeah. I think I made that same noise when I saw the rankings come out, because I don't know if you just said guess where he might come. I think, well, he might come sort of 12th.
That's an international noise, Dave, is what that is. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Number 3, and no big surprise here, Scotty Scheffler. Or maybe it's a surprise he's not number 1, but Scotty Scheffler comes 3rd in my rankings. So he's close, but he doesn't quite win, because at the very, very top, Gil, we have joint winners.
Wow.
Joint winners. Yeah, which is, I don't think I've had that before, but I've totted the scores up time and time again, and they do come out exactly the same. And it changed a little bit with the results in Texas last week. It just bumped one of these players up to the top, sorry. So the two at number 1, drum roll, are Hideki Matsuyama and Rory McIlroy.
Wow. Now, when you step back from that, we only have 30 seconds here, Dave. Does that, for formula aside, Dave Tindall golf handicapper, does that seem right to you?
I think it does, yeah. I think it does. I really like the way that's come out. I'm definitely back all over Hideki this week.
I think there's more than one of us who are all over Hideki. That is interesting. So Hideki Matsuyama, Rory McIlroy come on top. The first ever tie on top of Dave's Masters formula. Dave, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Gil.
Dave Tindall, everybody. Dave Tindall Golf, T-I-N-D-A-L-L on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Always fascinating as we go from college basketball to the Masters. All your tweets next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
An action-packed fight card has taken over Las Vegas for UFC 300, and DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bet. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. We just learned that Neil deGrasse Tyson is in town. And actively you're trying to book him now for Friday. Because we missed out on the whole Wu-Tang thing. That never happened.
Yeah. Wu-Tang. Shucks.
Yeah, shucks is right.
Shucks.
I had a different word, but yeah. Hey, RZA, what do you think about UConn? That kind of thing.
It would have been an all-timer.
We get tweets of beating the book. Always appreciate the feedback. Honestly, best listeners in the game. NCI 95 Gambler. It's way too early, but how about that O'Neal Cruz MVP bet from Jason? Great stuff. Yes, it is. Good start. R. Johnson with the big dance now over in conference play halfway through. Curious to know if you have any college baseball futures you're optimistic about. Nope, we usually assess that conference tournament time. I don't go too crazy too early. Ian McDonald, the Pirates did get off, you were right, Gil, to a great start last season, 20-8. But if you remember, the downturn started after a three-game sweep at the Rays. They went 21-46 their next 67, but recovered to finish 35-32 their last 67 to finish 76-86. Logic 3227. Wonderful for me to start the fantasy baseball season with Strider, Bieber, and Valdez. Lost them all. You didn't have all three of them, did you? Oh man, CRG.
No way.
Come on, you're
that would be I don't want to say bad beat because it's this early in the season, but man, that would be terrible.
It's like the opposite of the Uber driver I once had in Vegas, where he's like, "Yeah, you know when Refrigerator scored that touchdown in the Super Bowl? I had him at 40-1, and then 2 minutes later, he goes, "You know when USA beat Russia in Lake Placid?" I'm like, "Okay, yeah, sure." CRG futures. I changed my futures betting on the side this season, as you talked about. I have smaller bets on more pitchers to at least have a stake in pitchers I like. And as the season goes on, I will add more on emerging pitchers without as much regard on whether I got the best of the number. I do think you have to think differently about it.
I think that was a great point you brought up. I think that's a great tweet. Think that's probably the way to be approaching that these days.
3JackH3131. Just checking in to see how your day is going from a non-betting perspective in its totality. How long before we start talking Kentucky Derby odds? We'll get Felica's thoughts on that coming up. Totality. And anytime you can use totality.
My God. I heard so many times yesterday.
Jamie Leva was talking about how I said something gets said once and then everybody says it. He says former Bachelor contestant / backup quarterback Jesse Palmer used the term gash one time and it took off like wildfire. It was the worst. We're giving Jesse Palmer the credit for that. Interesting. Maybe it was. All right. And then to the question that I asked at the beginning, and not at the beginning of the show, but I asked it last night on Twitter as UConn was coasting to their second consecutive national championship. By the way, Tomas Martin Echeverry up a set and a break. Hopefully we can grab this here, up 6-5. What could go wrong, Kelly? Give us a win for the day. A win and a loss, but both plus money would give us a win. But to the question of, I said, you know, forget about UConn beating Purdue here, but, and I used the year 2000 arbitrarily. Since 2000, is this UConn team the best team in college hoops since the year 2000? And again, the reason that I just had the arbitrary cutoff of 2000, because again, just to take it to an extreme, Kelly, if you go to the early 1980s, it's just not the same sport, right? Like 1982 North Carolina Tar Heels with Michael Jordan in his freshman year and James Worthy, a future Hall of Famer, Sam Perkins, and 84 Georgetown with Patrick Ewing in his second to last season and Michael Graham, the enforcer. Like these teams were just different. The sport was different. And I also think about this. Like when I was a kid, we were in the early 80s was closer to World War II than we are to the early 80s.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Stuff's nuts.
And like when I was a kid and I saw World War II footage, and maybe it was because it was black and white footage, but like if a stegosaurus ran behind Hitler, I wouldn't have been surprised. I'd have just been like, yeah, no, it's all old to me.
Because it seems ancient. Yeah, it seems ancient.
So like for me to go, you can't go back that far. But I'm just saying since the year 2000, and so we've had tons of answers. Stegosaurus.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know my records rule. The records rule is anything before prohibition. It just like
you know, consider.
Yeah,
you
know. I hate when I hear the MLB records from 1904.
We have so many thoughts on this. Again, Dr. Bob, who does the analytics, he says he's like he says it's going to be too tedious for him to actually go back and judge, but he thinks 2015 Kentucky, the team that did not win the national championship, that was undefeated into the semifinals, that had the Harrison brothers, Willie Cauley-Stein, Cat, Devin Booker, Tyler Ulis, like that team was his best rated, he believes. So here are some thoughts from people. Tim from New Jersey. It was close in 2005. I want to attribute Tim the right one. He had the 2005 Illini as a measuring stick. Again, just one man's opinion on that. This is from, let's see, because there's so many of these. 2009 Tar Heels was a very popular comp to this Villanova team. Again, though, this Villanova team, I mean, it has to be said, they didn't do it just 1 year. They did it 2 years. And again, covered the spread in all 12 games of the two tournaments. Plus 120 point differential last year. Plus 140 this year. It's just, and again, unlike Duke in the early 90s back-to-back and the one in between Florida back-to-back 2006-2007, they basically did it by revamping Danny Hurley. Those teams had their core. Horford and Noah for Florida and Hurley, Leitner, and Hill for Duke. By the way, Duke is the short shot to win the title next year at 10-1 because they're, by all accounts, getting the best recruiting class in. But I'll just say, and by the way, UConn is 12-1. I think Danny Hurley ought to be installed. Can't bet unless it's installed,
oh,
Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. Caught that headline on ESPN.com today.
They installed it?
Yeah. I think Duke was installed, quote-unquote, yeah. Installed as the favorite.
UConn should be the de facto installation short shot every year. I don't think you say installation.
This is like,
where's Bama? 16-1, baby. Let's go.
We always do these. We look at these after the Super Bowl and stuff. Is there any sport that you would be less likely to bet right now to put in a future on college basketball for next year?
There's like, just no chance.
You can't bet this right now. You don't even know who half the players are on these teams.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And by June, you'll have an idea, which is when, again, I put my Alabama bet in last year. Tokyo 2021. Kudos to Dr. Bob, the rare voice who pointed out not only the games where UConn was missing a key cog early in the season, but also pointed out the warlike effect of replacing a player who then turned into a bench warmer on a team without a ton of depth. That's a great tweet. It's so true. And by the way, Dr. Bob, in his terms, with his numbers, I'll quantify this. He said, this UConn team is 39 points per 100 possessions, better than an average team with all their starters playing. Think about that. 39.
Say again?
They're 39 per 100 possessions, better than an average team with all their starters playing. And as far as 2015 Kentucky, he said 2015 Kentucky had a better rating using all games, but this UConn team has a higher rating by 2.6 points with Klingon and Castle playing. Because remember, Klingon missed 5 and Castle missed 6 games. So think about that. So Kentucky was better, but when UConn was full strength, UConn was 2.6 points better. Also, some comps for that question. Is UConn the best team since the year 2000? Ken William, I've been watching for 40 years, and this is the best coached team I've seen, and maybe the best team. They play D, value every possession, and never take a bad shot. David George, I know we're in the moment, but I don't think it's close. It's UConn. The most popular answers for those who came up with are 2009 Carolina. I think 2009 Carolina was the most popular one. Bob would say 2015 Kentucky.
I mean, I think the biggest compliment you can give UConn is they made this tournament boring to a degree. Like, every game they were involved in, I turned off before it was over.
By the way, the tournament as a whole, let's just say this and wrap up. If there was no such thing as brackets, if there was no such thing as Survivor, by the way, our Survivor, with over 1,200 entries, the first time somebody got through all the way to the end. Last night was two people were left. One had UConn, one had Purdue. It's never happened before in the history of that Survivor pool.
Wow.
So someone got through all the way to the end and won it with UConn in the championship game. But if you didn't have brackets, if you didn't have Survivor, if you didn't have betting, honestly, it was great from watching the UConn Goliath, and it had its moments, but so many of these games just were blowout stinky.
Yeah. There were some great games too. Everything that UConn was involved in at some point it became not even a contest.
Tomas Martin Echeverry. By the way, all of our picks, if you're wondering, hey, when did you give out those tennis picks? Every host, every guest on this network, not just this show, all of their picks across all sports at VSiN.com/picks. You must be a subscriber, and when the tennis tour is in Europe, it doesn't really work out with the timing of this show. So unless you're a subscriber, there's really no real reason to talk about it. Kelly and I are about to do a Beating the Book Masters pod with Sia Nejad and Wes Reynolds. And again, live Masters show tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, with Kelly, Matt, and Wes. Let's call long shots. We've done all we can do. Go Joe and Golinker next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.